Look, folks, we are at 8 o'clock, and I have three people who have shown an interest in public comment, which means it'll probably be much shorter, and we can come back to this. So if you have questions, and Bill, if you have a comment to make on this issue, please jot down your thoughts so that we can revisit this matter. And Jerry, please write down your question. You will be called upon as soon as we finish with public comment. Wendy, I'll put you on the list. Is there anybody else who wants their name added to the list for public comment? Okay. We have, after public comment, I will come to everyone.
I need more information, and I can't make my decision.
We have to go to public comment at 8 o'clock. We're already pushing it. So, I would... let's see. We have about 7 minutes per person. I hope you will indulge us and keep your comments to less than 7 minutes. But if you do go to speak for 7 minutes, we will go to 30. But otherwise, and I will at the end of this list of four ask anyone else if they wish to speak and divide the remaining time. But hopefully we'll be back to this line of questioning by 7:15. Nancy? I'm sorry. 8:15.
Are you going to mention the code of conduct?
I'll talk to you about that during public comment. Okay. Nancy, would you please come up and speak so that your comments are caught by this microphone?
I'd like to pass, but if this Teresa
wants to go last. Sure. You want to go last? Well, that's where you are now. Okay. Teresa Allen.
Mr. Chair, I object. In the past, in the past, people gone last, and then they just insulted everybody that they felt like.
Yes.
So I refuse to always let somebody else be last.
All right.
Because I think some of their comments need to be addressed.
Teresa will go after Nancy. Yes. Public comment, part of the meeting. George Ryder, then Wendy Schrell, Nancy Saibara, and then Teresa Allen.
I've been asked to represent Bill in the trial that's coming up on Friday, and the charges, one of them is so vague and it's impossible to defend against. Perry tells me that it's going to come up on the agenda to be cited by for the LSB. I've sent you all a copy of it. I just want to make sure that that happens. When you're accused of bribery, for instance, in public, it's important, I think, that you say who is being bribed and for what. That this is simple fairness, which really ought to be part and parcel of what we as progressive people, how we treat each other. So I'm hoping that's going to come up, and it's my request that it does.
Thank you very much. Wendy Schrell, am I saying your last name correctly?
You are. I'm very... because we've known each other a long time. So.
Yeah, but I've never asked that question before. I hope I've been saying it.
Oh, you're right.
Can you come stand near this microphone? So we're sure you kept...
I thought I had two more people to prepare because I was last, but... anyway, so I want to thank all of you. I know a lot of you, but I don't know everybody here, and I want to thank you all for being on this LSB and doing what I hope is the best you can do. I was on the LSB for the first 6 years of having LSBs in this new structure, and then I was on the national board for 5 of those years. I've also been a staff member twice. This time I was hired by OBDK to help in the membership department, and it's quite a job up there. There's, I'm really sorry that OBDK is gone, you know, but at the same time, like I said, with this background, what I signed on is for KPFT, and I hope that all of you really are considering KPFT in all your deliberations, because it is the radio station, not who's running it. That's what we're here for. I haven't been to this board because I never thought I'd work at KPFT again. It's kind of heartbreaking to work there. Because, you know, we're there because we listen to the radio and we know all what we want in the programming and everything, but it's better if you're a volunteer and you get to go home on your own terms and stuff. But anyway, I am glad I'm there because I'm really needed. There was a lot of neglect in the membership department, and so anyway, I'm happy to be here. The thing that I'm really concerned about is, as you can hear from these reports from the national board members, there's a lot of really serious stuff going on right now with national. I have followed as much as I can as a person who doesn't get confidential information. I'm on several email lists and going on like my 20th year of being involved in board stuff or watching all this kind of stuff. And there's really important things going on, and our board members, our national board members, they're sitting through hours and hours and hours of different experts helping them, and just hours of committees and different people and all the politics and this board, and they have some serious decisions to make, and they're letting us know as much as they can. And any major, like a sale or something like that, will have to be a vote to the membership. But what I'm really concerned about is that this board doesn't seem to know what its job really is. I've heard things like, you know, that the board is the boss of the general manager, that the board chair can call the radio station and order staff members what to do. I've heard you're going to organizations like the ADL over something your own members are doing. I mean, your job is to protect KPFT and Pacifica. You don't spend your time putting your own people on trial when they're in the middle. I mean, I guess the intention is to have some kind of sanction or maybe to remove them from the board. We need our PNB members that have all this information to be in there so they can make a clear decision. You can't replace them at the last minute with somebody who hasn't been in on all these hours of, doesn't have the same knowledge. This is not a political thing, really. This is how are we going to save our radio stations? And so, anyway, I hope that you guys will concentrate. I mean, we need to find a general manager for KPFT. That is a job of the board. You should be out recruiting people, getting people to apply for that job, including Obadike. I hope he's applied. And, you know, Ted, you should apply, I think. You have a sense of ownership, you know. We should get some good people it's LSB's job to develop a pool of candidates. So I hope that you'll do that. If you were to kick Bill Crozier off this board, he would still be the executive director. Stuff you're trying him for, he did as executive director. Nothing to do with the LSB. Rhonda having a scuffle with Robert in the radio station, that's nothing to do with the LSB. I don't know. Oh, the other thing, I don't know if that was at the LSB or not, but really it's supposed to be conduct that is adverse to the best interests of the foundation. That's what those kind of things, why you would have a hearing or an investigation about something. It's different than just not liking the way they vote and or not liking them. You know, please take this job seriously, you guys, because we might not have a Pacifica Foundation really soon. We need to all be working together. This seems real cut and dry. It doesn't matter what your differences are when we had more room to argue. We don't have a lot of room to argue right now. So, making KPFT profitable, or at least able to cover its expenses, has been helpful for us because now we look more viable than we did. But we're not expendable. And we need all of us to stand up if they do try to do anything against KPFT. Like you said, we need it here more than anywhere. Thank you.
The next speaker will be Lisa Blaylock, followed by Pat Hartwell, then by Nancy Saibara-Naratomi, and then Teresa Allen. I want to remind you all that there is no dialogue with the people who are speaking to this body, and no matter what they say, whether their assertions are correct or incorrect, we do not debate with the people doing public comment. Lisa Blaylock.
Thank you for letting me speak KPFT after 5 years of volunteering for the station. Also, thank you, Creator, for letting me speak, because I am sick right now and they found a lump in my throat. And I don't know what's going on with me, and I don't want to keep saying the same things I always say over and over, because nobody ever listens, and it just keeps happening. So I want to say something different. As a person who has a lump now in their throat, and I want to say, and then my grandpa died the other day, and his last words he told me, he said, "Are you still at the radio?" And then I tried to answer him, and then he couldn't hear me, and so he just turned up the TV really loud, because he doesn't like being sick. He's really proud too. He worked really hard, a hard-working Mexican, full-blooded Mexican. Spanish was his first language. You'd never tell by looking at me. But I love being able to be at KPFT all these years and bring the diversity that I knew what to bring to the station, and just being me. Just being myself and working with all the bands and all genres of music. In my little bit of time that I had, and then the extra time that was put on me. And I don't want to keep saying it, all the things I've already said, because I think a lot of people that I see here, like, I've already seen all y'all, and y'all already know. But I just got my MRI done the other day. Probably going to have to go get another CAT scan. It's not a joke. It's true. And I love being able to talk, just like Helen Keller had the opportunity to talk and speak. It's so important to have a voice and to let people know how they feel. Now, some people, they don't like it, and they may start to argue about it. And sometimes things happen to people that they never even asked for. Like, just horrible things. Like, people get abused all the time, and they never asked for it. Little babies, kids, adults, this always happens. But there has to be some kind of resolution, especially with the station that I love so much. And the community that I love so much. Born and raised Houstonian. My grandfather was here too, just like that too. And that's the things that we're proud of, you know. And that's why this station is so important. Because I'm not a doctor. I can't help you on all those other levels at the station. But what I can bring is my experience as a musician. Which my first show in Houston was when I was 13 years old. I'm a sound engineer at the Last Concert Cafe. I started sound engineering over 15 years ago. I'm not just up there as a DJ talking on the radio. Like, I actually know what I'm doing. And I love it. And it's really unfortunate, all the things that happen. On one side, people say, "Oh, you're so amazing, Lisa, that you could speak up. And you're the only person that spoke up about this gag order." And then on the other side, for being that amazing person that spoke up about the gag order, I lost my show.
Oh, my.
You know, 5 years. I can't tell you how much I raised. I raised so much money for this station that I could have used for myself, or my family could have used. Maybe I could have helped my grandpa that was dying of cancer. Maybe I could help myself right now. You know how expensive it is to have an MRI done? You know, I have Asperger's syndrome. There is no cure for what I have. What if I wanted to take that money and give it to an organization for Asperger's syndrome? You know, and I think a lot of times with KPFT or these meetings, when people hear me out, they just are tired of hearing me. You know, but I'm tired of saying it over and over. I want to rest, and I want to get better. And I want to continue doing what I've been able to do all these years. I have done nothing wrong to the station. I really don't feel like I have. And if anything, I feel like I've been just that person that's about the community. Wanted to keep working in the community. I did not like the gag order. I think that was really wrong. And I think a lot of people have been shut down in so many ways. I've been listening to the station since I was a kid. I've never heard of a time period where so many people were fired and lost their shows within a matter of months. Like, so many, Pat being one of them. I know some of the people on Pat's show. I mean, one of them likes to try to grab my butt as many times as he gets the opportunity to, and I don't like to expose that, because I'm friends with his girlfriend.
Lisa. We now have only 5 minutes per person, and you've used your time up.
But you said seven.
I did say seven when we had a smaller list, but now the list is expanded. So we have Pat Hartwell, then Nancy, then Teresa, and it's 5 minutes apiece.
Could you add me, please?
Okay, and you will go after Pat, Renisha, so it's now about 4.5 minutes.
I'm Pat Hartwell, and I have a question for the board. I obviously know that you cannot answer it tonight, but I would like a written answer within 24 hours. Is it true that since the new secretary came back, she has rewritten the notes and taken all the public comments out?
Yes.
So I don't want an answer. I want it in written form, because what Joseph was doing was correct. Where is Joseph? I'm sorry. What Joseph was doing is correct, because if this board is run by the people, for the people, we need the public comments. And when you sanitize these meetings, something's wrong. There's no transparency, and this is the problem we have with this board and Pacifica board, is there's no transparency. I don't know your name, I'm sorry.
George.
But this gentleman just spoke about defending Mr. Crozier, and something stuck in my mind. You cannot fight something unseen. This is what I'm fighting with a prison show. When they, quote, fired me, I got so many excuses. I had cursed on the air. I had exposed my body to prisoners up there. And the best one yet by Linda Hutton is I have gone up to Dallas and slept with somebody. This is ridiculous. I cannot fight a ghost. I cannot fight an unseen. Even though I may disagree with Mr. Crozier about everything except the weather's cold today, he does have a right to face his enemies, just like I have a right. The prison show is one of the most racist, backward, sexist show run by white men. When there's 147,000 prisoners in TDC, more than two-thirds of them are men of color. And we have a prison show run by that. I was fired for political reasons. I was fired because I publicly spoke up for OBDK. They didn't like it. I publicly criticized Trump. They didn't like it. I will not back down from my politics, because the prison show does not tell people who I am. And this bullshit about trying to attack my moral character is going to get no place, y'all. The warden even tells me that the prison show is a joke. So seriously? Y'all can attack me all you want to. You can say I cursed on the air and then run behind something. You come to my face, because I'm woman enough to confront any man that wants to come to me. I guarantee you that. But you cannot fight a ghost, and I have to agree with you there, so I'll see you Friday.
A couple of customer comments.
The next speaker is Venetia Patel Adams.
I'm just going to speak from here. I don't really want to be on the camera. So I wanted to address a few things. Someone had mentioned Bill Crozier's trial. I want to point out, it's no one talks about this for some reason, but he is a representative on the, I don't want to be on the, he's a representative on the national board, and he's also IED, and that's an obvious conflict of interest. You cannot be a PNB member and also IED. Like, on so many levels, that's messed up. So the fact that that's even happening needs to be addressed. And also that it's happening, I think, like, shows something else fishy is going on. Because on the one hand, if Bill Crozier chooses to not vote because of his position as IAD, he's robbing us of representation. But if he does choose to vote as a PMB member, he's IAD, and so it's just, I can't believe this happened for so long. And regarding Rhonda Gardner, I just want to clarify, it is definitely an issue of the local station board. First of all, because there's many, multiple times that she's done offensive things at the board as a board member, not even at this, and before she was a board member, but also while she's been on the board, she's done offensive things. So it's definitely a problem of the LSB, and I want to point out the reason it's being brought to the LSB is because it was, she's had problems with a lot of different staff, and she's staff representative. The interim general manager has not dealt with it. It's been brought to his attention. He's just ignored it. And that's why it's come to the LSB. So I just want to let y'all know. I just want to clarify that misinformation. And the last thing I want to say is that I totally agree with Pat, and I'm really glad that you brought that up, that the prison show is sexist and racist. Those people, like, I'm not comfortable. I was not comfortable going to the station when Dewey was alive. But anyways, it's very sexist and racist, and I'm glad that you pointed out that most of the people in jail are people of color, but the hosts are white people. And of course that makes people uncomfortable because there's families going in to talk to their family members. And it's been pointed out now to the LSB and to the IED. So I hope something will be done about it. That's it.
Thank you very much. Next speaker is Nancy Saibara, followed by Teresa Allen. Is there anybody else who wishes to be added to this process?
Okay. Thank you, Wendy, for saying that about it's up to the membership to dissolve the dissolution of the foundation. I mean, I just looked at the bylaws. It says it starts with a 10% voluntary dissolution of the membership. If we're 45,000 or maybe, 50,000 network-wide membership, if we are, I don't know, and don't get scared about the number. I don't really know what it is. I'm just guessing. Then it's 5,000 signatures. You need to start the board, the PMB, to vote on it. How many in this room are going to sign that thing? No, I didn't think so. So we don't worry about that. But I would like to make a correction of something you said, Wendy. There's a new committee that was voted by the PMB, and it's five people. It's called Contracts and Compensation Committee, and the IAD would have control of three of the five positions. And they meet in secret, and they do contracts. 10,000 or more, and they don't have to. Anyway, this is the ED or IED, the CFO, the Chief Operations Officer, an appointed attorney, and the PMB Finance Chair. So there's very little representation in this. Very little representation. Okay, that was passed in the National Conference Committee. Rhonda and Elaine Duncan voted for this. I think you should be aware of this. There, and then if this meeting has met, they haven't posted on the archives. That means they're breaking CPB open meetings law that endangers future CPB funding. Because you have to, even if it's executive session, you have to post. We are going to meet in executive session. And after you do it, within 10 days, you have to post. The reason we did post, and the reason we went in executive session is something. So this committee is very dangerous. Now, this is very, we're not getting representation if one of our PMB directors is kept out of the room. This is horrific. This makes me angrier than anything. I mean, how can you do that? Let her in on it. Share your emails with her, Rhonda, Robert, Mark, Bill, and let her hear all these, you know, what you're doing. You're doing, I don't know what you're doing there. The other members too. And also we voted. I mean, Joseph is the governance chair. We voted on a motion to recommend the PMB allow all PMB directors to be heard, not mute them, and not turn their volume down, and not garble it. That's it's there. And you can hear Grace Aaron telling in the audit committee, the Tanaka, Japanese, yes, be Japanese, Aki, mute William,
Mute him, mute him. You can hear that. I heard it live.
I don't know if Otis McClay took it out now. So you ought to listen to those meetings when they're live because they get deleted too. We have to do some, we have a lot of mistakes everywhere you look. But look, before we say, okay, we swap or we just cut our throats, let's think about, you know, we could move into a better position. We had a good, Kurt, he was here. Yeah, Kurt. A place that has equipment is near at 610 North. That's higher ground. It's about 60 feet above sea level instead of over here, which is 30. I mean, if the Arctic Shelf breaks off and the glacier slides in, and you've got displacement like 20 feet all over the coast, all over Texas. I mean, and then Manhattan, why don't you get to higher ground too over there instead of staying in Manhattan? That'll be slushed really fast, except the Brooklyn Heights, you know. There's some way we can do things to keep together instead of thinking, you know, let's get rid. But that's been going on a long time. People think we can separate and
20 no seconds, bylaws.
Oh, 20 seconds? Okay. So let's try to think. We're stronger. We, KPFA Berkeley, KPFK Los Angeles, WBAI New York, WPFW Washington, KPFT. Well, I mean, we're five. We're stronger. We should stay together. Start thinking. And connect and communicating together and thinking together. There's a lot of us inside, insiders, infiltrators. They want to separate. They want to keep us. I think part of the CIA would like us together so they can watch all the activists for a long time.
Thank you. Teresa Allen, and you have 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
Let me know what 20 seconds. I do want to address something that Venetia Patel said. You know, she deplored the idea that that the bill is IED as well as on the national board. But when you were on the national board, Lydia Brazan was also on the national board, and she was IED, I believe. And I know of two other examples of people that were on the board and also IED, including Ambrose Lane, the person that signed that Empire State Building contract. So. Pat Hartwell, you made a statement.
I'm over here.
Okay, I'm sorry. You made a statement about the secretary should write down the comments of public comment. But we cannot expect our secretary to paraphrase public comment. If they paraphrased it wrong and misinterpreted your meaning, you would be very upset. People can listen to public comments on the tapes of the meetings, but it would be unrealistic to expect the secretary to paraphrase your comments. And I'm sad that I have to spend my time addressing this misinformation. Okay. About the email list that was done, Mr. Chair, you called a meeting at Shape Community Center, and you had some people taking an email list. This meeting was called not with the permission of the executive committee, but it was called, and KPFT funds were used to spread the information about that meeting. I would like somebody on this LSB to find out when you gave that email list to the station, because it belongs to the station, not your personal possession to rally people opposed to Bill Crozier with, for example. And this is the use of station resources, and it is very critical, okay? And you're supposed to be the leader of that. People here, you can challenge the decision of the chair. And if you don't, you are sometimes derelict in your duty, and you certainly are only making it hard on yourself. When people asked that Jaime Rodriguez request for excused absence September be accepted, and the chair looked at it but ignored it, Ms. Washington, he seated you provisionally, and then he would not accept his request for an excused absence again, because he thinks he's still on the committee, on the LSB, which is a committee of the chair of the PMB. That, I think, somebody needs to challenge the decision of the chair. He made a decision. You let him do that. And the chair has been known to bully people with parliamentary procedure.
So if you're feeling that you, oh, I don't understand parliamentary procedure, you might want to start practicing it, because there are people that bully people with it. In the last LSB, in the last pledge drive, I spent considerable time approaching personal friends to raise challenges to encourage programmers to raise more money for the station. I would like board members to weigh in on what you did to raise money. You know, you're very upset with the station because OBDK is not the general manager, but that is not an excuse to not do anything to raise money for the station. And I'm going to end with a little parable. There were two Buddhist monks, and they came to a stream, and they were going to cross.
Yeah, 20 seconds.
There was a beautiful woman that needed to cross. The older monk said, "Here, get on my back," and they crossed. He set her down. They walked on further. An hour later, the young monk said to the older one, "Sir, you knew we were not allowed to touch that woman." The older monk said, "I carried her for 5 minutes and put her down. You've been carrying her for that for an hour.
Your time is up.
You've been carrying the situation with Bill Crozier and Robert Mark, so you're not even doing anything else. And you need to set it down."
Okay. I want to share with the body, before we go back to the Pacifica National Board report and the Q&A, that a member, I put this under Roman numeral 5, but I want to address it because it needs to be addressed. A member of the public, Dr. Stephen Cohen, who I found out lives in the San Francisco Bay Area, has put this body on notice that we are in violation of the Open Meetings Act and our own bylaws. Recordings of meetings have taken place. Who is responsible for the custody of these recordings, and what steps have been taken to make sure that they get posted? Who wants to go to current station management to see that this matter is addressed? I went to kpftx.org, and where it says that the audio of these meetings is supposed to be posted, it's not posted. That's what Dr. Cohen is correctly alleging. Adriana.
Yes, sir. I cannot see several. The secretary was always in charge, taking the recording according to all the rules of the Pacifica Foundation. They are in charge. They are in charge of the recording. They are in charge of posting it. Obviously, that stopped happening when I understand that she got problems, but that's why Joseph was secretary, he posted all the directly, because the general manager cannot post it, the one that posted, they give you the option to post it in kpftx.org, and that's why Joseph was doing it. I mean, you need to do it directly. That is one of the jobs that the secretary is, the minutes and post the record.
I tried to post them, and the code is listed in your name, and I have never gotten the code. There's a code to get onto KPFTX, and it's held by
Wait, not back and forth. I also faced problems. I contacted Otis McClay, he gave me access. I think a number of other people on this body have informed me that they have been able to post things on KPFTX.
Yeah, I haven't.
So have you tried to reach out to Otis McCoy?
Well, you can give me the code.
I don't have it, but Otis McCoy is who you need to reach out to, okay?
I will reach out to him again. He told me that she had it, and I had to get it from him.
Well, that was the case until he gave me access to it, and now I have it. You should be able to. If you run into problems,
I will
please
talk,
let me know within the next 2 days so we have it resolved by Friday. Thank you. Do you have all of the recordings of all of the meetings that have not been posted?
I have all of the recordings of the meeting since I came back. I do not have the recordings of meetings in between.
Does anybody?
In my absence.
Is there anyone else here that's Bill?
Yeah, I thought all the recordings. I used to do this. Adriana volunteered to
wait,
do this.
Wait.
That was a question. We both
yes, you just answered it. Deb, you and Bill can get this thing resolved.
Mr. Chair, point of order. Joseph,
I'm sorry. If you don't say point of order, I don't know what's going on here.
He's just trying to make me.
Joseph.
Deb mentioned that she did not post, obviously, so that means that she wasn't here. But I verified today that for the June, July, and August meetings, I did, in fact, and I verified that I posted today. So that are posted.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Point of order.
What?
So from this day forward, who's the person responsible?
The secretary.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Now, I want to point out to you all that we have Roman numeral 9, the Pacific and National Board reports, the general manager's report, standing committee reports, and we have a number of vacancies due to change in membership of this body, special
Chair.
Committee reports. We have a lot to cover.
Mr. Chair.
Hold on just a moment, Dwayne. I will call on you. But I just want to say that we have no rules at this point. Alexandra wants to ask a question and then a follow-up question and another question, and we will not get to the end of this agenda. So I'm going to limit you to one question. I don't want speeches, I want questions. If you go beyond a question, I will call you out of order. Okay, and when we went into public comment, we were in the midst of asking questions. I'd like to see a show of hands of those people who still have questions.
I got a problem with that. You're making it so simple. I don't know who I can trust. You made that. None of us know. We don't know if we're going to get any information or not. You are the only arbitrator on what's true.
That is correct. I'm the chair.
And I'm sorry, I can't accept that, Ted. You ain't cool enough.
Okay, Ted, I'm sorry. I would like to ask one question.
All right. And this is for all four national board members.
Yes.
Can you limit it to 1 minute and the answers to 1 minute?
That's fine.
Thank you.
My question is this. I think just about everybody on both sides agrees that the entire structure of the Pacifica is dysfunctional as hell. Each board, as I understand it, we're talking to Bill, the other stations are about the same as we are in terms of those interactions and so forth. Now, I know it costs money to go into bankruptcy, but if we went into bankruptcy, could a plus of that thing actually blow up the entire structure and start over again? The purpose of this whole organization is programming, not to have cool clubhouses, not to have endless meetings like this, not to investigate each other, have trials. Why don't we do something like all trials will be suspended, everybody can be admitted, and in January, if it's still necessary, everybody can investigate everybody can have a trial, everybody can whatever. You know, and we could have a good Christmas and we could end this meeting in 15 minutes since there's nothing else to talk about. But really, would a bankruptcy allow us to start over? One time, I know Dwayne Mark talked about a constitutional convention to start over.
Jerry, that is 1 minute.
That's my question. Would that be a benefit?
Robert, can you answer that?
It's unclear.
Thank you.
If we file a Chapter 11 bankruptcy, our hope would be that we could reorganize. But that would leave us in charge of the reorganizing, and the same system that's keeping it from being fixed now will be in play then. But the bankruptcy court could just say, this thing is unfixable, liquidate everything, pay all the bills, whatever is left over we'll give to the NPR.
Okay, no follow-ups.
It's a non-profit similar admission to ours.
Adriana, your answer to that question.
Yeah, I agree with what Robert said. The reality is the same problems. It's nothing magic here. The same problem, we are the problem. The problem, the foundation have the problem that we have. And you see it in all the different levels. that bankruptcy, Chapter 11 is not the solution. Second of all, you need to remember that it's not just in the whole world that will give us, if you see the reality of the finance of Pacifica, nobody will give us that. And if the court is the one that decides, it's taken out of our hands, and like Robert said, the result, nobody knows what the result will be. The reality is we can fix it, but we need to stop playing politics.
How are we going to fix it?
Bill Crozier.
No, come on. She can answer that.
No, question. You're out of order.
You're out of order. You're out of
Bill.
Order.
Bob's basically right. According to bankruptcy, the PMB would stay in what's called debtor's possession in bankruptcy, at least for a period of time. But if they can't come up with a plan that would satisfy all the creditors within maybe 4 months or so, then the judge would appoint a trustee, and they would basically be in charge. And so, you know, anything we could do in those first 4 months, we theoretically should be doing outside of bankruptcy. And we should try to do it outside of bankruptcy. Bankruptcy adds additional costs also. But what I'm most afraid of is that the PNB, and I forget who mentioned this earlier, might not get a majority. We might not get a majority to decide on any one particular solution to this financial situation. Because we don't owe just the money for the judgment for Empire State. We have another 2 years remaining on the lease. We've got about $1 million in pension funds that we need to pay. We have another $5 million in debt, too, in addition to that. And so if we're just focusing on the short-term thing, this judgment, that's not going to help us. Or if we get a loan just to pay that, and if we can't figure out how we're going to pay it back, we could end up in bankruptcy in a few months with a worse situation if a lender decides to foreclose on a loan because we can't make payments on a loan.
Rhonda?
I'm very concerned. I'll address the information that I'm leading with, that I was privy to. I can check and see if it was, I assumed it was sent to the National Board, but I don't know that for a fact. But I took what Ford Green had to say, the letter that was sent, Ford Green. That's what I'm basing my decision on. And also emails and conversations with Sam Archibald, the CFO. Right now, the Empire State Building has a judgment against us. They could seize our bank accounts at any time. At any time. Okay, y'all are shaking your heads no, but I don't ever get a definitive answer. I get a contradictory answer, and from what I understand, New York has the right to move on it, whatever. Right now, we're excited because the wrong judge signed something, so we're acting like that's bought us more time. But in terms of me and filing bankruptcy, of course it would be a last resort. I agree that we're not going to be able to get the board to agree on anything. If we could get a signal swap, WBAI is in the middle of the FM dial. They could move down a little bit, but you're not going to get consensus.
Okay, thank you, Dwayne. Do you have a question?
No,
I do have a question.
And would you please?
Clint was there. Could I provide information?
Go ahead. You'll get your chance. All four of you will get to speak again.
I want to stop something that's going on. We keep assuming he's got some snaps. I don't think he does. I don't know. But I don't have anybody to judge it on. I don't. Something's got to change. If y'all think we can save our asses, then start working on it. This is piss shit. This is not important. I don't know what it is, Dad. You acting like a foreman. Oh, God, is not helping it. I don't trust you enough, kid. And if I did before, I don't now. I don't trust anybody. So that's stupid. I admit that's stupid. But what other spot am I in? I know what she's talking about a signal swap. You don't even mention it. This is a technical world we lost in. This is not a joke. And being cool and no Robert to write an order, I mean, it won't get it. If we were going to, we might as well walk out the door and blow this up. With the way we're bringing in Corson, it's a waste of time.
1 minute.
1 minute, man, stuff. Okay. And more help.
Dwayne Lark.
Now, this question, as you said, would be to four individuals, but one of the members admitted this is over her head, which I agree. But to the attorney, and to the executive director, and to the second attorney, who does bankruptcies on our local board, is it not true that all you get through all the book on about what's bad, what's good, what we can't do, what we can't do? The bottom line is, the only way we will, it's not attractive for the Empire State Building for us to threat to go into bankruptcy, because they may end up getting zero. So when you boil all this down and you admit that you will not come to a consensus within the body, it would seem eventually the only solution is going to be an appointment. It is going into the court. I predicted it 3 or 4 years ago. I believe we have more control when we go into controlled bankruptcy for various reasons, including the millions of dollars that he speaks about, that either is true or not true, $5 million, $10 million, to get from under these noose of contracts with the unions, for instance. That's one way to get out of it, to get out of the contract with the Empire State Building. So don't think the boogie bear is in the courts. The boogie bear is not always in the courts. There are solutions for us in the courts that you can't come up with on your own because you're too stupid. So the reality of the matter is that if we go into a controlled bankruptcy, we don't have to pay this 100% health insurance anymore. We don't have to honor the contracts that we have with four stations under union control. There are a lot of positives that these people are not telling you about going into controlled bankruptcy.
A minute and a half.
My God, man, put someone on the PNB with his nut over their head. Put some new people on the PNB from here that may be able to get a consensus. Because these folk have proven they cannot.
Robert Mark, he said, isn't it true? So you get to respond to what you just heard, as does everyone else on the PNB.
I would be hesitant to believe that because of two reasons. One, you discharge things in bankruptcy because the assets cannot meet the obligations of the creditors. All of the contractual obligations we have with the unions, I don't know whether it's a written policy that gives out this health insurance, but that might be something that could be fixed by changing the written policy. But because we do have resources that could allow us to meet all of our obligations, I don't know why a court would consider discharging the obligations under a union.
It'd be scheduled. I didn't say discharged. Be scheduled.
Wayne Lark, you're out of order. Are you done, Robert?
I think that's the answer, is that, you know, the assets.
Thank you. Thank you.
Adriana,
isn't it true? Excuse me? Bill?
Well, we might be able to get out of some of the union contracts. That's possible. But the problem is that we're not insolvent. We have assets that far exceed our debt. So that doesn't. So therefore, you're not going to get out of the debt that we have.
Okay.
Well, you mentioned contracts.
I said control.
Dwayne, no dialogue, please.
So it's not going to release us from debt. We're still going to have to pay the debt. In fact, we have to pay all of the debt. We have. Right now, part of it, like what we owe, or supposedly owe democracy now, is in question, whether we owe it or not. And we might be able to negotiate that in bankruptcy, too, possibly.
Yeah, of course.
But to get back to the other question about, you know, not being able to get a consensus on the PNB, the problem is mostly, I have to mention, of course, between the people in New York and D.C. and the people in California. Because the people in California don't want their buildings placed as collateral or the buildings sold, like including the National Office, Acrobat Building, which is the next door to KBFA. And WBAI and KBW don't want their buildings, don't want their licenses swapped, either one of them. So, you know, we're kind of in the middle. I'm willing to consider selling buildings if it's what it takes to save Pacific, including this building, KPFT's. But it's not going to be enough. I can tell you, I won't bring in enough money to take care of all that.
Okay, time is over. I'm going to close this down with one last question PK would like to ask.
I get to speak.
You are, right after.
No,
I'm sorry.
To
I'm sorry. Done. You're correct. Go ahead.
Okay. So, again, we have known about the Empire State situation for a long, long time, from the moment that I was on this board. In all that time, Pacifica
has not managed to come up with a plan. I have a fiduciary responsibility, and right now they want me to agree to borrow $2 million. Whenever I've been told by the CFO and our counsel, Ford Green, that won't happen. And y'all are right. We have assets. But we also have a very dysfunctional organization, and I would not be doing my fiduciary responsibility if I agreed to get a loan that there is no plan to pay back. There is no plan to pay back. We have talked about this all year. We don't have the ability to raise money. We're not functional.
Our time is up. PK, and you can start with Rhonda and work your way around to Robert, Adriana, and Bill.
My question after Monday's meeting was that there are a lot of ideas being thrown out, but every idea needs an analysis and then a proposal. And so we're wasting time, I think, with this particular aspect of getting questions answered for us individually, because some of it's emotional, some of it's political, but basically there is no plan, and the things that are being decided are being decided by a few. So my question is it possible to change the way the PMB communicates and get a specific communication system that allows for everyone to be heard? They can even be seen. I've given examples of it, so that people who are not having a voice can have a voice.
Rhonda.
Can we get a new system?
Rhonda, communication system.
My experience on the PNB and my understanding in watching the Maestro system that is sometimes used, again, is because of the dysfunction on the national board. I ask everyone here to just listen to one meeting. Just listen. So, the purpose of the Maestro system, from what I can tell, has to do with dilatory and constant repeated points of order. It also has to do with people speaking over each other and so on and so forth. So I'm definitely for any kind of system that can help us to communicate with each other better. I don't know what the solution is. Sometimes I'm thankful that we have Maestro, but I certainly understand the preference would be that we didn't have to have it and function as a board.
Okay, we better find another.
Robert, Mark, mm-hmm. You wish to speak to this?
Well, I'd just like to say the beginning of the plan was to borrow enough money to make ESP go away. Mm-hmm. However, in having that discussion, it was clear to almost everybody on the board of directors that in order to do that, we had to have a plan for how to pay back. And since we are an organization that is essentially at the whim of contributors, and every bad piece of news about us that comes out actually deters contributors, no one is coming together with any kind of a plan that could in any way possibly pay off $2 million, which Bill, I think, has said several times, probably is not enough to satisfy ESP, because we haven't calculated in their interest over the course of time up till now,
attorney's
and
fees.
We haven't calculated in their attorney's fees because they won the case.
Your time is up. Adriana.
I believe that is what is deeper than that. Now, depending, this is a political position. Everybody start the conversation wherever they want, and then from there they build to explain their point. The reality is that For example, for me, I remember in February, we have a meeting, the PMB have a meeting with the attorney, and we give certain orders, and the PMB approved those orders, that nothing happened during 4 months, because later on, according to what some of the people said, because nothing is proven to me yet, some specific people stopped on those negotiations and changed the rules and talk about the different thing. Like I said, everything here, you can hear the explanations of some people and start whatever they want. The reality is that the transparency is not here. That is our problem. When we have in-person meetings, that didn't happen, because you cannot sit and yell to the person in front of you and say a bad word or mute that person. That is one of the problems.
Bill, 1 minute.
You know, I'll agree with Adriana. That's what I was going to say. I think that in-person meetings would solve a lot of this problem. We've been having meetings, probably on the average about every other week, PMB meetings. This is 22 people on the conference call. Imagine this, okay? And like the meeting we had last Thursday was 4.5 hours, open session and executive session. And my back was really hurting after that, as a matter of fact. And, you know, and frequently people complain of headaches and everything else. And we get very little done. Almost every meeting, we take an hour and a half to get through agenda approval and approval of minutes if we're lucky. We still have minutes we haven't approved from several weeks ago. And we'll get to an item on the agenda finally after all this other stuff. There isn't a lot of time. And people will bring up all kinds of other stuff that doesn't even relate to what the agenda item is on the floor right then. And when we used to have in-person meetings, we really did get a lot more done. We could have 3 days or 3.5 days. And we could get more done than we could get in 6 months of telephone meetings. And this year's worse. But the problem right now is that they're expensive and the board's too big. And that's what makes the board meetings so expensive.
We are now at Roman numeral 9, but I'm going to tell you at 9:30 there is I don't remember the exact language in our standing and special rules, but we can bring anything up at that point in the meeting, and I'm going to offer a motion.
Well, before you do that, Mr. Chair,
let me just say let me finish this sentence.
Well,
that we form our own special committee to come up with a recommendation to the PMB on how to resolve this matter, and we open up that committee to experts in the community who may have better insights than we do. Now, Dwayne, what did you want to say?
Thank you. Finally, Mr. Chair, I've been trying to get your attention the last hour. You made a point that it is customary that new seated members have an opportunity to address the board.
Correct.
And I've been trying to do that for the last hour.
Well, if you'll allow me, Rita, you have 1 minute to tell us a little bit about yourself and what you bring to the table. I don't even know, and I know you. So, 1 minute.
Good evening to everyone. My name is Rita Washington. I am a consultant. I have my own marketing and financial services company. I bring marketing experience. I bring parliamentary procedure. I was president of an organization for more than 8 years, editor of a national magazine for 8 years. So I think I bring a lot to the table, and it's a lot that I see here, basically a lack of respect for one another in this room. I don't particularly like that, and I have a problem with it. I sit here quietly and not say anything. So all of us that think we know Robert's rules might need to go back and read that. Hopefully I will be able to bring my experience, if I'm allowed to stay on the board, bring the experience that I have as a leader in the community that I serve, bring it to the KPMC or the speaker. Thank you.
We have that special rule, and you used it well. Thank you very much. Welcome.
Well, I apologize ahead of time. Mr. Chair.
I'm limiting this to totally new members of the board. We're moving on. Roman numeral 9, Pacific and National Board Committee.
I object. I challenge the ruling of the chair.
All right, we'll take it to a vote. We all know what's on the line. All those who want to give Dwayne Lark 1 minute, please raise your hands. One, two. Okay, you got a minute.
If you know that I need to save your ass, you would have given me the time. But
well,
since
I'd like to see you do it in 1 minute, since we're going to have some back and forth here, which is inappropriate.
To the previous speaker, management does matter.